You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
It's a 2024 offseason, and we are here to talk Dolphins football. We'll be with you every week all through it, up until the start of the regular season. We'll be discussing free agency, we'll be discussing the draft, and we'll have a good time. Hopefully you'll join us as we proceed through the offseason, and we've got a show today, so here we go. And it's another FinFans podcast. This evening, I've got Chris Rigoni here.
How we doing, Dolphins?
And Matt Mariani.
What's up, FinFans?
Been a while, Matt. How you doing?
I'm all right. How you guys doing? I'm still reeling. Yeah, I'm still reeling from the Kansas City game. Haven't quite got over it yet. This is my first time since I've been on since we lost.
I know.
Since we've been out. It's still hard to believe that it's the off season. I'm not... I can't come to terms with
it. Is there an off season? That's my question.
That's true. We got stuff to talk about.
Yeah. I mean, I guess there's a couple of weeks there, you know, in May and June where it kind of gets a little slow, but there's not much of an off season. The NFL is always up to something. And, we got the Senior Bowl. We got the Combine. We got all those things. Not the Senior Bowl, but the Combine. And what's after that, right? Free agency.
Yep.
Start of the new year. Lots of moves coming. So, like I said, there really isn't an offseason. So anyway, speaking of the Combine, Coach McDaniel was there today and got interviewed.
Mm-hmm.
You guys want to talk about what he said?
Yeah.
Sure.
I was going to say, I mean, they opened it up asking questions about Tua and where they're at with the contract negotiation. He says it's still being handled. He says he has all the confidence in the world that Tua will continue to get better this offseason, and pretty much that he just feels more comfortable now than when, you know, he came in a couple years ago.
Yeah, I'm glad he does. I don't know if anybody else does.
Oh, I don't know. You know, we've seen little pieces of improvement each year.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't deny that.
But, right, yeah.
You know, there's some things in his game I'd like to see not in his game, you know, like the happy feet and stuff like that. But maybe with a little better offensive line, we won't see that as much. I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, I think that's a big factor into how he plays is how confident he feels in his offensive line. Because, I mean, you can see it in the games last year when we had all of our guys there, you know. I mean, yeah. He looked like a completely different quarterback. And then against some of these better teams when we were missing a few key guys on that offensive line, you could tell he just, you know,
I was just going to say,
just rushing.
I want to see him look like a completely different quarterback against Buffalo.
Yeah, agreed.
That's what I'm looking for. You know, once we see that, then we'll know Tua has arrived.
Mm-hmm.
I do think the Tua extension is inevitable. It's just a matter of time. Obviously, I mean, his market value is going to...
Does anybody think it's not inevitable?
I got a question for you, Matt. If you're Chris Greer, what type of contract are you offering to at the moment? Right.
I'm glad you asked that because I was actually going to get into that. You know, everybody who listens and knows me knows I'm the biggest Tua fan. I do think the Dolphins can...
for that.
I do think the Dolphins can win the whole thing with him at quarterback. I don't think he'll ever be a top five overall quarterback. Like I don't think he's never going to be Mahomes. He's never going to be Allen. That's not him. He did put in a top five season in 2023. That matters. He did. And I think that's objective. Okay. Yep. I think that's objective and you can't take that away from him. So that shows he's got a pretty high end ceiling. Has he gotten to his personal ceiling? I'm not sure we can say he has or hasn't, because he's gotten better every single year. Just when people say, can't do this, can't throw a long ball, then he does. Can't stay healthy, then he does. So, can't come back in the fourth quarter. Then he does against bad teams, not against great teams this year.
Right. Crawl before you can walk, right?
Mm-hmm. Now, when you compare him to what the other options are, what are people saying? Things like Justin Fields, Kirk Cousins, potentially a draft pick in the second round or late first round. Wouldn't you rather have the guy who's been in the scheme for the last 2 years, who knows the offense, who knows the receivers, who there's going to be no learning curve. He's shown he can lead this offense and play this offense at a very high level. Is there room for improvement? Of course there is. Of course there is. He needs to be better against the top competition. That's the next step. That's what they're saying he can't do now, and that's what he's got to do. So what contract would I give him? I would pay him somewhere in the range of $45 to $50 million guaranteed, because it's just those are the numbers, or per season, because those are just the numbers. That's the reality of the NFL. This is where we're at. If they re-signed him last year, they could have had him at a discount, at a major discount. They might have been able to have him at $25, $30 million per year, but they didn't want to take that risk. Now, it is what it is. They're at where they're at. The cap has gone up. He's played how he's played. He's put himself at just about the same market as Dak Prescott. And Dak Prescott's going to get paid. He's going to get another extension.
They're saying $65 million for Dak.
Exactly.
Possibly. That's nuts.
Well, if you're going to pay Tua $65 million, you might as well watch a different team.
I don't think he's going to get $65 million because he still has these questions about injuries. He still has these questions about whether he can perform against the best teams. I think you can get him from somewhere in between $40 and $50 million annually, and I think you have to give it to him. You have to be creative with the kind of contract. There does have to be outs in case he doesn't perform. It might hurt in 2025. It might be terrible to get out of this contract, and you might have to just take your medicine and blow everything up in 2025 because of this extension. But
isn't that too soon? If you give him an extension this year in 2024, and let's say he has a mediocre season, don't you think it's too soon to get rid of him in 2025?
If you give him an extension, he's got 2 years to show us something.
That's what I would think. I would
that we did that
I
we did
think
the right
he would
thing.
Get 2 years.
I meant at the end of 2025, so going into 2026.
Okay.
I would think if they get an extension, this group as we know it has 2 years to show they can get over the hump, and that's Tua first and foremost.
Now, McDaniel's right behind him.
Yep. All of them. The whole group. Greer, and Tua. All three of them. They're a package deal, and they got 2 years to prove it. And if they fail next year, we all know Greer's gone. He's gone. He'll be the first one to go.
I don't know, Matt. I don't know if I'm so sure. I mean, that's what I'd love to see, but for whatever reason, Ross loves him. So, I mean, I've said something similar in the past, but I mean, until he cans Greer, I just can't, you know, like I can't hope for that, you know. Let me ask you guys both a question Do you guys think that there's any shot that they that two number one, Tua would play on his fifth year option, play that out?
Well, he wouldn't have a choice if they decide to go that way.
Okay.
He's bound by contract.
You don't think he tried to hold out or
he might hold out. Yeah.
Well, he could do that, but there'll be, you know, fines and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That route would create a lot of animosity in the offseason. For everyone. For sure.
I don't think that's the route they want to go. I would have gone that way personally because I would have said to Tua, hey, Tua, you know what? You did improve somewhat, but I got to see more.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have done that. But, you know, I mean, they're going to do what they feel is right for them. So if they sign into a contract, I'm all for it. You know, I just hope they're making the right decision.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I would say, though, is I think you can, you know, give him that contract and still draft a quarterback in the third round. The only problem is we don't have a third round pick because we were tampering when we shouldn't have been.
It always comes down to that.
It does.
There's always something stupid that stops us from doing what we want to do.
So anyway, you know, I mean, you know, you got a one, you got a two, you got a five, you got two sixes and a seven. So, you know, what is that? You've got two good draft picks, the first and the second round. You better not screw them up.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it is what it is.
And if I'm paying a quarterback $50 million, I'm not using one of the first two draft picks on a backup.
No, I wouldn't either. I wouldn't
either.
Yeah,
for sure.
You need players on this team that are going to contribute. You can't be using a first or second round pick on a quarterback right now because of the route you went.
Yep.
So, you know, we have very few cheap players on the team that are difference makers. You know, Zach Sealer signed a contract that was probably below market value, and then I consider him a difference maker. But there aren't many.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you got to hope guys step up. This year, we didn't have any young guys really step up.
Right.
Next year, I'm hopeful for Achane.
Well, we had Achane, and you can't knock his production. You know, he got hurt. It happens.
He should be even better next year. He's going to be. And you got to hope Cam Smith is ready to step into that starting gig because that looks like the plan at the moment.
I just like to see what he can do. Yeah. You know. Because we really haven't seen much of him to make any kind of determination. I mean, I hear he can play. People are saying he can play. Yeah. And I don't think Vangio hated the kid. There was something the kid did that got under his skin, and I'm sure he was coached up about it, and maybe he just didn't take to the coaching.
Yeah.
So that happens. Not everybody's going to get along. What else did we pull out of that interview?
Well, we were talking about it a little bit with Cam Smith, and Mike was asked about Vic Fangio, and he kind of gave a classic Mike McDaniel non-answer, and basically, we assessed everything at the end of the season, we looked at each other, we had a mutual respect, and we decided the best thing for everybody was a mutual parting of ways.
In other words, they fired him.
Or he quit. We don't know. Either he got fired or he quit.
Yeah, somebody made the first move there. I'm just not sure who.
I doubt it was mutual, but that's the way Mike talks. He's got a good way. He's got a way of saying a lot and saying nothing at the same time, taking a long time to say nothing.
Yeah.
That's
the reporters
Mike
love it, let me tell you.
So that was kind of the whole interview. It was a long
interview.
Yeah, he
talked a little bit about Armstead and whether or not he's going to come back. And he basically said the ball's in his court, but we got to prepare as if both scenarios are possible, come back or not come back.
Mm-hmm. One thing that was a little alarming for me was when they asked him about the Christian Wilkins situation contract-wise. Mm-hmm. And he basically said that, you know, he earned the right to be a free agent. And
last time we heard that was with who?
Gosh, I can't think off the top of my
head. It was somebody they let leave here, I can tell you that much.
Oh, gosh, I know who you're talking about. It's not clicking for me right now.
Take a minute and think about it. So, I'm trying to remember myself. Matt, you don't remember?
I'm trying to think, he's on the defense, wasn't
he? I think so.
Let's see. Earned the right to become a free agent.
He earned the right to become a free agent, and he became a free agent, and they let him walk.
gosh, this is killing me.
I know
me
what
right
you're talking
now.
About.
Well, I'm sure half the people out there listening know too. I just don't remember who it was.
But the point was that that doesn't make you feel, that's exactly where I was going with it. It's like when they say stuff like that, it makes me kind of worried that he's not going to be back this year. You know, hopefully that changes. I mean, I've said it before, as far as free agency wise, I mean, he's got to be the most important piece. I mean, he was the first piece of our rebuild and really the foundation on that defensive line. You know, I mean, when you talk about a rebuild, you want to see them, you know, start in the trenches on the offensive side and on the defensive side. And then as far as I'm concerned, I mean, him and Sealer are, you know, one of the strong suits of our whole team.
All right. What we're going to do is we're going to take a step back for just a couple minutes and we'll be right back.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's the strength in the middle anyway, you know. We're going to talk about our free agents, and I guess we'll get into Jerome Baker in a few minutes, and we can talk about that. But anything else out of that press conference? I don't think so. Do you guys think about
that? That was pretty much it. Yep.
Not too much worth discussing aside from what we've discussed.
Yeah, no, so, I mean, it was an 18-minute interview too, so it was fairly short. It wasn't like one of his longer presses, you know.
Yeah, it wasn't like the hour one, the sit down one that he does later on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's basically, you know, state of the team address, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Og was the top name on my list of free agents, and we already know that's not going to happen because mm-hmm. they waived him. So Jerome Baker is second, and what do you guys think? Are you going to re-sign him? And if so, what do you think he'd be asking money-wise?
Well, Baker's got a year left on his contract, doesn't he?
I don't know. He's showing a free agent as far as over the cap and spot track are concerned.
Yeah, I'm seeing the same thing. I mean, possibly his guaranteed money is done to where we can move on from him without it affecting our cap, really.
I'm looking at his contract. It says he's under contract. He's under contract for $10 million next year if he's on the team.
Okay.
But zero guaranteed. There's $4 million in dead money and $10 million. It's $4 million if he's pre-June 1st, $10 million in dead money if he's post-June 1st cut.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, zero guaranteed. $4 million is a pretty, if you get $10 million off the books and it only costs you $4.5 million to do it,
is UFA. That's really strange. Yeah,
I'm looking right at. I'm on overthecap.com.
I'll send you a screenshot if you want. It says he's a UFA. So, but when I look at his contract, I see what you see. So, I'm going to take another look at over the cap and see what they say.
Yeah, I got.
So say he's getting around $10 million a year, Matt.
Yeah,
do you think that that's a good price for him, or do you think maybe we look elsewhere?
I think that's too much for him.
I agree.
If he's willing to take a pay cut and restructure, he was injured last year. He's never been a guy who makes massive plays. He's not a game changer. He's solid, but he's not a game changer.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like $10 million might be a little too much for him. He was having a great game against Buffalo until he got hurt. It was one of the best games he's ever played.
Yeah, that
they have him as a free agent next year. Over the cap does, so I think it might be a mistake on Spontrack.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. Over the cap has him being a free agent in 2025.
Yep.
And he's costing $14 million against the cap this year. And they can get that money off the books for $5 million. So that's saving $10 million if you decide to let them go. pre-June 1st, I think he's going to be a cap casualty. If I'm Greer, he's a casualty.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, me personally, I'd like to see us maybe take a look at Patrick Queen, Devin White, some of these other inside linebackers that are going to be hitting free agency this year. Because, I mean, if you can sign either of those guys for around the same money that we're paying Baker, I mean, I think those guys are both upgrades. And those guys, just like you said, Matt, I mean, I kind of agree that Jerome Baker is a solid player, but he's not a game changer, and he doesn't make enough game changing plays that you want to see out of that middle linebacker position. I mean, I saw something else recently that the Jets may be looking to move on from CJ Mosley. And I mean, that's another guy who's
love CJ Mosley.
No, yep. Him and Quincy Williams. I mean, they got two really good inside linebackers, and I think that's definitely what our defense is missing, you know? And,
my biggest criticism of Baker is he's just not good against the pass, and you need linebackers who are good against the pass in 2024. Mm-hmm. CJ Mosley's incredible against the pass. I'm so jealous of the Jets linebackers.
All right, the next guy on my list is Connor Williams, and they're projecting him to sign a contract roughly in the neighborhood of $13.5 million a season.
Is he going to be healthy?
A five-year deal worth $67.6 million. And that's the question, isn't it? Is he going to be healthy?
Yeah,
we need a good center. I'm not saying it's got to be him, but we need a good center. We saw how things dropped off when he got hurt. That was like that was like the exact moment the offense started to stall, was when Connor went out for good and Eichenberg came in.
Yeah, for good reason. I mean, Eichenberg's, you know, he can play any one of the positions, but he doesn't play any of them well.
Yeah,
truth, you know. He's
and Connor Williams is playing at him.
Yeah, he's a marginal starter, and Connor Williams was playing like a top five center.
He was playing at a really high level.
Yeah, and he was so good in the run game too. When he gets to that second level. I mean, he's a quick guy, and he'll wheelbarrow dudes. I mean, I think if we don't draft the center, then you gotta have him back. But I mean, a guy that I've kind of fell in love with in this pre-draft situation is this Jackson Powers Johnson. I mean, if he's there at 21. That to me is a slam dunk. And then, you know, you can use that money that you were going to give to Connor Williams, maybe for a guy like Robert Hunt, who I'm sure
You think they should take, they're going to take somebody else. Trust me, I've been through it before.
I know, man. I'm just, you know.
Overall, it's a strong draft for interior offensive linemen.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Mm-hmm. So hopefully they get somebody, either a right guard or a center, or somebody that's going to help that line.
Or even both, huh?
Yeah, possible. Possible, because there should be somebody left in the second round, you would think.
What do you think about Connor Williams, Mike?
I like him. You know, the Achilles thing scares me a little bit, right?
I think he was an ACL.
Oh, ACL. Well, yeah. Okay, yeah. They're coming back quicker than they used to, so I'm not as concerned about that.
Yeah, but, and he's not a wide out or a running back.
That 13.5 is a hard number to swallow, though.
It is indeed. Maybe we get a little discount because he is hurt.
Maybe.
I don't think he'll be back.
You don't?
No, I think he's going to he'll command a nice salary on the open market, and I just don't think we're going to be able to compete.
Yeah, I felt that way before he got hurt. Now that he's gotten hurt and he could potentially be missing half the season, maybe. I mean, I don't know where he's at in his rehab process, but he got hurt pretty late at the end of the year. So, I mean, who knows? I mean, he's definitely a guy I'd love to see us get back. I mean, it says he's 26, almost 27, so he's still fairly young, too. It's not like he's an older guy. So,
you got to wonder why they only signed him to a two-year deal.
Yeah, that definitely was a little weird to me.
All right. The next guy on my list is Christian Wilkins.
I talked a little bit about him a little while ago,
but is he a guy that you're going to re-sign at that a relatively high number? His market value is $20.2 million, and I tend to think he might get more than that.
I'd give him 20. I don't know if I'd give him much more than that. And even giving him 20 for a guy that's not like an Aaron Donald or a Quinnen Williams, I mean, I would say he's probably the next tier down, but for some of the reasons that I spoke.
He's the next tier down, but he does everything else extremely well.
Yeah, for sure.
He's a great leader. He's, you know, a team player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, do you take all that into consideration and maybe give him a little bit more?
Absolutely. Well, that's kind of where I was getting at, Mike. Okay.
I'm sorry.
All those things that you just named is why I would give him $20 million, even though he's not like a guy who, I mean, he had a decent amount of sacks last year. But if you look at his numbers before last year, I mean, it's hard to give a guy, the D tackles, that much money when they're not getting the sacks that, you know, like I said, the Aaron Donald, the Quinnen Williams, those type of guys. But because he's a leader, he was the first part of our rebuild and such a valid piece in our franchise, you know, I mean, you got to bring him back, you know, I mean, in my opinion. But if he wants more than 20, then I don't know. Maybe we let him walk.
Yeah, it would be my guess he's going to want more than 20. But go ahead, Matt.
So two things have me leaning towards yes, either give him what he's asking for. I mean, not totally what he's asking for, but give him what the market says. Or, I mean, the franchise tag is an option for him. And the franchise tag, does anyone 22? Know? Okay, 22 for 1 year. Just so it gives you another year to negotiate, see how he does. He's got two things going for him. If you compare him to Quinnen Williams, and if you compare him to Dexter Lawrence, are the two guys who most recently got paid at that position. He mm-hmm. does not get the sacks that either of them get. No, he gets less sacks than Quinnen Williams, but he gets more sacks than Dexter Lawrence.
Okay.
He gets more stops than both of them. He gets more tackles per game than both of them. And the big thing, the big number, that why I say we gotta bring him back is I don't think he's ever missed a game.
Yes, to my knowledge, to my memory.
How many players have we had that have gone 4 years without getting hurt, playing
at
an impact?
Especially in a physical position.
Yeah. And given the impact that he gives, that's got to bump him up a little bit. The fact that he's always out there, that he's a team leader, the city and the fans love him. I think those few things push him over the edge where you say, okay, he doesn't get the sacks Quinnen Williams does, but I think we can give him that kind of contract.
Those are definitely very valid points. I agree with that.
I'm glad I'm not the one making the decision.
Yeah.
It's a tough one. It really is. It's a very tough decision because of the financial situation the team is in.
Mm-hmm.
If you sign him, I'm sorry, just one last point. If you sign him to this $22 million deal, you have to start a rookie opposite Ramsey, or you have to start somebody who's not making any money at cornerback. You're not getting a premier cornerback.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way like the math works out. There's just going to be nothing left.
Yeah. That's kind of what I'm saying. You know, if you pay him, you're going to pay for it elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. But we got, come on, this is the NFL. All teams do it. We got to be able to find guys who can play on rookie deals. We got to find rookies who can play. Everybody else has rookies that can play. Why don't we? Why are we never able to find rookies that can play?
Well, we get one every once in a while. You know, we had Achane last year, right?
He's like the first guy since Waddle and Phillips.
We had AVG several years ago. Now he's a free agent.
I'm just saying. In the NFL, you got to get production and snaps out of rookies. You got to do it. You can't.
I don't disagree.
It's not going to work if you don't. Yeah.
You need those cheap contracts and guys that can play holding on to them.
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs were able to keep Chris Jones because Trent McDuffie was an incredible cornerback on a rookie contract. That's why they were able to pay Chris Jones this kind of money that we're talking about.
AVG, what are you doing with him?
All right. What's his projected salary? No, they don't have one for him? All right. If we can get him back.
You got to figure it's going to be somewhere 8 to $10 million, I would think.
I think that's reasonable considering both of our starting edge guys are coming off disastrous injuries. We don't know when they're going to be able to play. So there's reasoning for paying AVG a little bit of top dollar to come back. But what was his injury at the end of the year? Was his significant?
I've read that it might have been a Lins Frank.
Lins Frank, yeah.
Okay.
That can take up to 8 months, but I don't know how severe his injury actually was. I mean, I know they interviewed his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, and they said that he said that AVG would be ready for training camp. So, right. I mean, that's
it's definitely so hard to predict what they're going to do with the edge position with mm-hmm. the state of Phillips and Chubb.
Yeah.
Who knows when they're going to be ready? I mean, Phillips is looking strong already.
Put a little pressure on them to re-sign Van Ginkel?
I think it's
definitely a huge reason for them. I mean, a guy that I was thinking about, if for whatever reason Van Ginkel gets a higher offer somewhere else and takes it, is Jadeveon Clowney. I know he just played for our new defensive coordinator last year.
Didn't he use a walker last year?
I mean, pretty sure he had 10 sacks last year, Mike. And he wasn't getting paid a lot of money at all.
I know.
Former first overall pick, mm-hmm. maybe you think at this point, you know, he wants to win a ring, and hopefully he likes our guy that much. I mean, I know he was coaching the outside linebacker, so he had to have been pretty close with Clowney. I mean, but personally, I would love to see AVG back. I mean, maybe because a lot like the Connor Williams situation where he gets hurt at the end of the season, maybe we get a little bit of a price break on that. And I know Drew Rosenhaus has already came out and said, too, that Van Ginkel would love to come back and be a part of our team. So, I mean, it's a guy who wants to be here, high energy, high character guy. I mean, I think he's worth the money to a certain extent. I mean, I don't think we should break the bank for him, given that we're going to have to give Phillips a contract probably at the end of this year. And you guys know already we paid Chubb all that money, so there's only so much money we can put into that position alone. But, I mean, I definitely think it's worth taking a look at, you know.
This doesn't get a whole lot easier. Next, you have Isaiah Wynn.
He played good in a couple of games that he played for us, but who knows if he would have lasted 17 games. He didn't. Who knows how well he would have played for 17 games. I think what he added to the team was negligible and could probably be found cheaper elsewhere. I don't think he proved anything. If he's willing to come back for a one-year deal, bring him back. If he's not commanding anything that's crazy, sure, bring him back, give him another try. But mm-hmm. I think we could find something of his caliber pretty cheaply elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, I think he definitely played good in the games that he did play in, but what was it, Mike? I think he played in the first five games and then missed the rest of the season.
It was early on.
So, I mean, we moved him to left guard, right? That's where he was starting at. And then he played pretty well. So, I mean, if we can get him at a good number, like Matt just said, I mean, I'd definitely like to see him back. It's a guy who knows the scheme, knows the playbook. I mean, that's a big thing because, I mean, they like a certain type of offensive lineman. They got to have a certain particular set of skills, as Liam Neeson once said. Wynn's a good, but see, the problem with him, even when he was in New England, was he can't stay healthy. And him missing 12, 13, 14 games last year doesn't really help his case. But I mean, you know, if we can get him something like a vet minimum or something like that, I mean, it's definitely a good depth piece to have.
All right. Robert Hunt.
I'll let you go first on this one, Mike. What do you think? What do you think about Hunt?
I like Hunt a lot. I'd be hard-pressed not to re-sign him. The problem is the same problem we've got with all these guys. He's going to cost some money. He's probably going to get, he's projected to get a four-year, $47 million contract.
Jeez.
So, yeah, I mean, it's about $12 million a year. And I don't know. Can they find a better guard cheaper?
Can they? I mean, I think it's possible, but at the same time, I mean, this is one of the rare picks that Greer hit on. So I think you have to bring him back. And I mean,
if you're letting the center go, Connor Williams, I think you got to keep Hunt, don't you?
Absolutely. And
I'd rather have Hunt than Connor.
Yeah, I agree. And what's crazy that I didn't realize is they're about the same age. I think Hunt's actually older than Connor Williams, which I didn't think, but that's pretty crazy. But anyways, I mean, Hunt's been, you know, he's been good for us. And I mean, he's another good locker room, good character guy who's just, you know, sticks his hand in the dirt.
Goes to work.
Exactly. And up until last year, he's been pretty durable. So
I mean, that projection you have him at 12 million, almost 12 million per year, according to SportTrack, that would make him the 16th highest paid guard in the league.
Okay.
I think he might get a little more than that.
he's a top 16 guard, that's for sure. He's been a top 16 guard for the last 2 years. So
for sure.
It might be a little more expensive to bring him back.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Needham, and I'm saying no.
Nah.
Ran its course. It's done. I feel bad. He's a player. You love guys like Needham.
Mm-hmm.
But that ship has run its course.
Yeah, I think that's somewhere you can bring in a UFA and hopefully have some production.
Mm-hmm.
Deshaun Elliott.
I liked what he brought to the team this year.
Mm-hmm.
He made some big plays at some times. Chris.
Oh, no. Go ahead. I'll go after you. I'll let you go first.
I mean, that tackle in the Dallas game,
let's put it this way. Brandon Jones is also a free agent, right?
Mm-hmm.
So put them both in your hand at once. Which one are you keeping?
Well, Elliott's going to cost more because he's a better player. Brandon Jones hasn't proved he can do anything besides rush the passer. Brandon Jones can't cover. And do you want a safety who can't cover? I mean,
not particularly.
Deshaun Elliott's proven he's much more versatile than Brandon Jones. Deshaun Elliott can play. He can play strong up on the line of scrimmage. I'm not saying he's Rashad Jones or anything, but he's solid in the run game and he's much better.
He's a serviceable safety.
Yeah. He's much better in the pass game. I think he's a good complement to Holland, and it'd be nice to bring back as much of the secondary as we can with Ramsey and Holland and all of them. I say yes that he should be back. I think he's got a history with Anthony Weaver, so he knows what kind of defense he likes to run because he came from Baltimore.
Before. I thought you were spending a lot of money, guys.
Well, the cap went up.
Uh-huh. The cap went up, and we're lucky we got an owner who is willing to spend that money. I mean, yeah. I feel a lot the same as Matt. I mean, I think Elliott would definitely, like, I loved watching him play. The only thing that kind of gives me a little bit of cause for concern is he was in and out of the lineup all year. And when him and Holland were in at the same time, I mean, they feed off each other really good. I mean, you spoke a little bit about his versatility, and I really like how he can come up and hit, and he also has some pretty good ball skills too. So, I mean, I think he's a guy that we can get back at a good number. And, you know, like you just said, especially losing Howard now, I mean, I'd like to see us bring back as much of the secondary as we can of the guys who are actually going to play, you know.
So you're bringing back Eli Apple?
No, that's a hard.
That was pretty quick.
I'd rather bring back Noah Igbinoghene than see Eli Apple back in our uniform.
Hopefully again. Eli Apple's not back. That means things went terribly wrong next year.
I'm going to say no for Raekwon Davis, and I'm pretty sure you guys are going to agree.
Yeah.
If you don't, go ahead and talk.
Yeah, I mean, unless we can get him on a super cheap deal, I mean, I don't think he's played himself into a huge payday. So, you know, maybe he takes a hometown discount and just, you know.
He never played up to his talent. He didn't play up to his talent in Alabama, and he didn't do it in Miami either. His talent made him a second-round pick. He had elite size and strength, and he just never put it on the field. And there's really no reason to bring him back.
Justin Bethel.
I think you bring him back on a vet minimum deal. I mean, he's a really good special teams guy. I mean, was he a captain last year?
I don't know if he was a captain or not, but I know he's an ex-Pro Bowler.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely somebody that the players respect. I mean, he's going to be 34 years old, so, I mean, he's definitely going to be one of the older guys on the team. But just from a special teams perspective, I mean, whenever he did, because there was a few games where we saw him in there. I mean, he was getting cooked a little bit. But, I mean, he's a good depth piece. And, like I said, a good special teams guy. You got to have a few guys like that on the team.
If he likes Miami and wants to come play for nothing, welcome back, Bethel.
Mm-hmm.
Kendall Lamb. He doesn't want to play for nothing.
He's good. I loved Kendall Lamb this year. I thought
he said he's not coming back at minimum money. He wants a raise.
He's going to get it. He probably proved to be one of the best swing tackles in the league last year. He played both the left and the right side, and he played whenever a guy went down.
And played reasonably well.
That's valuable in the NFL. Yeah. That's extremely valuable. He's going to get what he's asking for. Somebody's going to pay him to be a starter.
Yeah,
it might be us.
Yeah, there's not too many quality tackles that hit the market, especially guys like in his situation. I mean, he's going to be 32 years old.
I was just going to say that. He's not a youngster.
He's not a youngster, but at the same time, he's another guy who hasn't played himself into a buku contract.
It puts you in the Armstead situation, right? He's over that age where injuries are common.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm happy you just brought up Armstead. Because if Armstead is coming back, then you definitely have to sign a guy like a Lamb.
Yep.
That's just insurance, because we know we'd be lucky to see Armstead play 10, 12 games this year. So we definitely got to have a backup plan, the guy that's not just a turnstile, you know. But, I mean, yeah, if we can get him at the right number, I'd love to see Lamb back. But he already said, like you mentioned earlier, Mike, that he's not coming back for the minimum like he played on last year.
I can't say I blame him.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, for the offensive line, that's asking a lot of somebody. They get beat up.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be surprised.
Yeah.
Don't be surprised. And remember that I said this. Write this down. If Keon Smith is battling for a starting left tackle job during training camp next year.
Okay.
All right, Keon Smith.
That's
all
a bold take. I remember watching him in the preseason last year, and he was just getting destroyed. And I remember we talked about it on the podcast. I was like, dude, I don't know who number 71 is, but I hope he never sees the light of day, or else Tua's going to be
hurt again.
We've seen young players turn it around.
But throughout the season, he came in and he played
decent.
Yeah, he
got some snaps.
You know? I mean, Yeah, he definitely got better throughout the season. And how old is he? I'm pretty sure he's a younger guy, too. So he's still got room to develop. And I really like our offensive line coach. I mean, he seems like he really gets the most out of the guys.
He was a rookie this year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, he's still definitely cheap. A guy there's that no we'll reason you back. Wouldn't bring him back. Unless
yeah, so
they
maybe
think
Lamb.
He's really terrible. That would be the only reason.
I'm just saying, don't be shocked if you hear his name
a little bit.
I
wouldn't be shocked. Somebody's got to develop somebody, you know.
Right.
Jake Bailey, the punter. I say adios.
Nope.
Adios, brother.
That's a hard no.
Brandon Jones, and we kind of discussed that.
See ya.
Yeah, thanks.
I don't like him. I don't like him.
I love him as a chess piece, but we're not really in a situation where we can just sign guys for the luxury of it. So yeah, I mean, think he'd be better off in like a sub linebacker role where he blitzes about half the time, but you know, we'll see. Weaver may actually see his skill set and be like, I want this guy back.
That's true.
He's another guy, I keep repeating this, that you know, he hasn't played himself into a huge contract, so I don't know what the market for him is gonna be, you know.
Taylor Croft, tight end.
So, nope.
Nah, he didn't. He had chances to get on the field, and he didn't do much. Yep.
Let's see who we got. Jonathan Harrison, a backup center.
All right, guys, we're going to break for a few moments, and we'll be right back.
Nope.
River Craig Craft.
That, I don't know. He was having a good season before he got. Yeah, no, he loves Craig Craft, just like Daniel loved Sherfield the year before. But yep. Honestly, I mean, he didn't do anything with Buffalo, but I was pissed when we signed Craig Craft and let Sherfield walk last year. But I mean, Craig Craft is about to hit 30 years old. I mean, he was banged up all last year. He was having a good season for the first couple games, and then he got banged up and just never really got back on track.
Elijah Campbell. Oh, I'm sorry, Matt. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say he's a team favorite. He seems to be like really tight with Tyreek and all those guys. They really seem to like him.
Mm-hmm.
Tua seems to like him, but I don't know if he'll be back.
He's one of McDaniel's guys from the Niners,
think so
too. So
there is a possibility.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So back to Elijah Campbell.
I kind of like him. If he hasn't done anything to earn a huge amount of money, but he wasn't terrible last year.
Right, and that's the reason you re-sign him, exactly.
Yeah,
I actually really like him because you can put him at safety. He played a little bit of nickel. I mean, he's a pretty versatile guy.
So he's almost 29, believe it or not.
Yeah, Yeah, exactly. That is pretty crazy.
Calvin Munson, inside linebacker.
Nope.
Yeah, I'm with you. Robert Jones, guard.
No, he's. It depends on what happens with the rest of these offensive line guys. He got some starts. He's another guy who got hurt this year, and he's got a pretty dubious injury history as well, Robert Jones, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, but he only made 800,000. So
seems like he can't get through a game ever. Yep. When he does get a chance. I probably not. Like, you know, he's a guy you would bring back, maybe a camp body, let him try to get a backup job. I don't think he's going to have a whole lot of demand.
I'd bring him back. Honestly.
Yeah, I mean, depending, like Matt said, depending on how the other dominoes fall with our offensive line, I mean, the guy's only 25 years old. Last year, he was banged up, didn't really play as great. The year before, he actually came in and did a pretty decent job. I liked what I saw, and the coaching staff really likes this guy. McDaniel likes him. So
yeah, I like Butch Berry, so I'm hoping that Butch Berry can help him extend his game a little bit. You know, he's a backup. He doesn't have to be Terron Armstead. Yeah,
exactly.
Sure. Yep, that's true.
One of the starting, not Robert Hunt. You know, he's a guard. I might as well use that name. But, you know, he just needs to be able to hold his own. If he can do that, if they can get him to that point, then he's going to be a pretty inexpensive player to have. And that's what we need, inexpensive players.
Mm-hmm. I think you skipped one guy, Mike. Braxton Berrios. Did we already talk about him yet? Did.
I may have skipped him.
Yeah, so he's a free agent. I know he made 3.5 last year.
You can flip a coin, as far as I'm concerned.
I was expecting more from him this year, to be honest.
For sure. I mean, I think we were all kind of expecting a Wes Welker type.
Here's what he gives you. He gives you sure hands on special teams. That's what he gives you. Now, how much is that worth?
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I mean, he's a guy that is a good, decent returner. I mean, I talked about it a lot last year. I just don't particularly like his return style because it seems like he just runs right into the middle of the pile and tries to come out. I mean, he's not the fastest guy either, but solid special teams guy if you can get him back for like a million.
Deceptively fast.
Yeah, and I mean, he's from Miami too, so maybe he takes a hometown discount because I mean, he's a good body to have if you have him as your wide receiver 4 or 5, you know, some guy that comes in.
But if I can find somebody better to return my punts that's as sure-handed as he is, I'm going for it.
Agreed.
Matt, thoughts?
Like I said, I was a little disappointed in him. Yeah. I was expecting more, but...
So you're a no.
Yeah, if he doesn't want too much money, he's okay.
Okay.
If these guys like Miami and want to come back and play for nothing, I'm willing to have him on the team. He's not a waste of a roster spot. It all depends on the money.
Yep. Agreed. And they're going to have to make a lot of tough decisions, probably tougher decisions than we made. Because some of those guys we said we'd like to have back aren't coming back. But, you know, that's the way it goes. They put themselves in this position. Now we'll have to see how they crawl out of it.
All right, so Mike.
Yeah, I mean,
if you could only have Mike, because you didn't really get a chance. If you could only have, let's try to come up with a realistic, a plausible situation. If you could only have 2 out of Wilkins, Hunt, Van Ginkle, who am I missing? Wilkins, Hunt, Van Ginkle, and Connor Williams.
Who
are you bringing back? If you can only have 2 of those guys back,
Hunt and Wilkins.
Hunt and Wilkins? Wow. All right. Okay. That's probably my 2 as well.
Yeah.
It's tough.
I think so as well.
But that's the way I think I would go. You got to build your lines. You can't let your lines disintegrate.
I agree.
And not only that, you got to show that you value your homegrown, you know. Yep. And not only that, I mean, that speaks volumes to free agents, because it's like, if you're a free agent looking at this situation and you're like, with Christian Wilkins specifically, it's like, if they're not even taking care of their own, what makes you think that they're going to take care of me? Exactly.
You're totally right.
So, I mean, from that perspective, I mean, you definitely got to have those guys back, honestly. I mean, Hunt and Wilkins were both drafted by us too, so it's and they're just 2 of the few picks that Greer actually hit on. So you would think that he's banging the table for these guys. He's telling Ross, you know, we need these guys back. you know, they're cornerstones of the rebuild. Let's
sign them to a 10-year deal and give them $3 this year. And
we give them the Shohei Ohtani contract and defer everything until 2030, right?
Oh, I figured it out. You remember at the beginning of the show, you were asking who we said he's earned free agency.
Yes.
It was Mike Gesicki.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yes, it was. You're right to be a free agent.
But I don't think Mike Gesicki is anywhere in the same conversation as Christian Wilkins. But that was killing me because that it was Gesicki. That's
funny.
I don't know
how that just popped in there.
I figured it would hit one of you before the show was over. I knew I wasn't going to remember.
He's going to be a free agent, Mike. Do we bring him back?
No, I hated him.
We wouldn't have let him go if we were going to bring him back.
He makes me so mad. I'm so glad he's off the team.
I like him, but I don't like his tight end skills. I mean, he's great in the red zone, but that's about the only place he's great.
Absolutely. I didn't hate him, but I hated how soft he was.
Yeah, my tight end's got a block.
Yeah, he was marshmallow soft. All right, guys, that's going to be it for this show. Thanks for joining me this evening, and thanks for listening, everybody. We will be back next week, and we'll talk about free agency a little bit more and maybe who we can, you know, maybe pull onto our team that won't be too expensive.
Derrick Henry.
Yeah, right. It could happen, but I don't think it will.
I think Josh Jacobs is a more realistic look at
that.
We'll talk about that next week, another conversation for another day.
So, all right, guys. Again, thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week. Until then, fins up.
Fins up.
Fins up, Dolphins.
All right, Fin fans, that's today's show. I want to thank the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network and the Sports Social podcast network. Check out these sites, guys. They've got articles and podcasts, which I think you'll enjoy. All right, until next week, be well and take care.
Podcast Network.